recorded live.
You're listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Welcome to episode 77 of the Geocaching Podcast. Winter is coming. I'm your host, XPunkX, with
Montu Ryder
and Daryl W4.
Welcome to our show today. If you plan to participate in our show, or if you want to participate in our show, we'd love to have you. Our show notes today, I've had too much coffee today. If you want to participate in our show today, please call 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with our other listeners. You can find that at geocachingpodcast.info. Click the Join Now to Participate button on the right. We have a voicemail line. It's just 206-350-3GPS. And on Twitter, we're twitter.com/GCPodcast. Well, welcome back, guys. It's another Tuesday. It's been a very, very busy week here. So what have you guys been up to, Montu?
Well, for the wife and I, we had a great time this past weekend. We were camping out with the youth group out at the local wilderness preserve. Even got to take them all for a ride on the train Saturday afternoon, which they all enjoyed. Finally received word from Starkey Park and about the pavilion reservation. So it is now confirmed. So we did release the for approval the listing for the third annual Starkey Park Geo event, which is GC1G988. Anybody that happens to be heading into the state of Florida come December 28, we'd love to have you stop in. Already received some direct emails even from cachers that are pretty sure they're going to be attending. They just have to finalize their travel plans before they log it. Even received word from our one guest that we had from Canada last year, and he is making it a point to be in the area for the event again this year. Guess we must have done something right last year. Daryl?
Well, you know, I'd love to be there, but I don't think we're going to have the chance. We did have a blast, though, Saturday at the early Halloween Geobash local event, GC1FFXA. And I ended up spending pretty much the whole event sitting around taking portraits and printing them up. It was a pretty cool thing that we did last year. Just redid it this year, new setup, and worked fairly well. Had some problems with the printer, but, you know, we won't talk about that. And the photos are all posted up on the event page if you wanted to check those out. But after that, we hit the trail with Team Legend 4 and tried out the iPhone a little bit. Did get an iPhone with our Sprint contract coming due on Saturday, and I'm liking the iPhone very much. Unfortunately, the geocaching apps that I've tried haven't been too good. The best one that I found has been Geo for Lite, and it really isn't very easy to use. Took a little bit too long, so we kind of gave up on that. How about you, XPunkX? What's going on your end?
Well, me and Julie finally got out a date day. Saturday, we sent the kids off to different places. We had our blood donation in the morning on Saturday, and then we hit the trail, and we found 8 caches, and we were successful in all of the caches that we tried this time. We did not have to DNF anything, so that was really good. And Sunday, we went and just helped some friends out get their house in order. They had bought a new house, and so we were helping them fix a bunch of stuff. So yeah, it was really cool. We had a nice date day. So yeah, it was good. I'm really, really waiting for the Bishop iPhone app to come out, because that'll be cool. So I can't really
I'm looking forward to that one myself too.
But you know, he said his Mac crashed, and so he had to send it over to the Apple Care people. So he should have it out soon.
But yeah, I got my fingers crossed. I want to play with that, especially with the new Twitter integration that looks like he's got working.
That is true. So now tell me this. You and Drew both now have extra iPods. You just load. Now you got way more space. You got your iPod and your iPhone.
you know,
lots of podcasts.
Yeah, well, you know, my iPod Touch here is pretty much just the cart machine for doing these podcasts. So that one's allocated. And the other one is probably going to be going away very shortly.
Nice. Your cat needs one, right?
No, actually, my buddy's been kind of drooling over one, but didn't really want to spend the cash for it. So he's going to give us a little cash for it and
nice.
Help offset the iPhone costs a bit.
Nice. So anyways, this winter is coming, and it's getting cold here this week. I've noticed it. There's been a couple of days where it's kind of been a little bit of frost when I woke up. Luckily, I don't need to go to work right away in the morning, so it kind of gets a chance to go off. But before that, Daryl, what's been going on in the news with geocaching?
Well, we got a couple of items. One isn't actually directly geocaching related, but Garmin has announced the new GPS Map 600 series as of Friday. And from the Garmin release, it says that the GPS Map 600 series features a high-sensitivity GPS receiver and boasts an intuitive, waterproof, super bright 5.2-inch WVGA screen, which is 800 by 480 pixels, that reacts as the user taps or drags through intuitive menus and options. The GPS Map 640 comes preloaded with comprehensive street maps of North America and worldwide shaded relief mapping, in addition to detailed U.S. and Coastal Blue Chart G2 maps. When placed in its included marine mount, these new portables will automatically start up in marine mode, presenting chart features such as shaded depth contours, port plans, wrecks, restricted areas, and more. Now, the GPS Map 640 is an ultra-portable and rugged touchscreen navigator that comes preloaded with comprehensive maps and sets of streets, marine charts for the U.S. market. And the 620 is essentially the same thing for use outside of the U.S. The 620 has a manufacturer-suggested retail price of almost $1,000, and the 640 has an MSRP of nearly $1,200. So pricey units, but they look pretty interesting. And we'll have the link in the show notes to the press release on that if anyone wants to check that out. Now, Montu, GPS Babel also came out with a new version, I see.
That's right. GPS Babel 1.3.6. Beta was released on Monday. From the release notes, this is an evolutionary release that adds support for several new GPS types, adds features, and, of course, fixes several of the problems. We'll have the web address for that also in the show notes. Andy?
Thank you, guys. It's good to see new GPS is coming out and new software. Well, winter is coming here, like we've mentioned before, and it means many different things for many people. Some people, it see so much snow that they can't think about caching because all they have is snow. All of their caches are buried under 6 feet of snow. But for other people like Montu, this means caching season because he's down in Florida, so it cools down a little bit, and you can cache as opposed to being so hot that you can't even think about caching. So we're going to talk a little bit tonight about winter, not necessarily winter caching, but what it means to what's happening now that winter is starting to come, what we need to think about with our caches and how to winterize your cache It's just a good time. Seasons are changing, so good thing time to do a few things to your caches. One of the things that's good to do for your caches is re-camoing your cache. Winter camo is definitely different than the springtime camo. Springtime, your trees are green. They're going to be a little bit brown, green. Winter, depending on the area anyways, like us in the Midwest, United States, means if you can get some sort of a white covering snow, that's a good thing to do. Also remember too that sometimes some of the camo that you may have used, such as a leaf or a bush that was completely hidden during the summertime, during the wintertime, it may be a little bit out there so that people can see it because the leaves are going to be gone. Another thing to do is check the containers. The sun is really hard on plastic. A lot of times, if your container's been sitting out in the sun all summer, it may be weak and cracked. You may have had something step on it, so this will allow moisture to get in. So check on your containers. You may need to replace your containers. If you have an ammo container, it's usually okay. You may want to check the rubber seal on it to see if it's still sealing complete. Another thing you may want to do is drain and dry the container. A lot of times, moisture will get in. So you'll want to maybe get a new logbook and drain anything out that's in there, put new baggies in there. Another thing to do is check the container, too, that it isn't in a location which may flood and or freeze. If you're near a lake, you're being here in the close to winter time, or even with the snow, when the snow melts, you'll get a lot of rain, and so the lake may come a little bit higher, and then if it freezes, it'll freeze, and in like a crack your container. Like I said earlier, you want to replace your logbook. This is good to do even if the logbook isn't wet, because it may be getting full. It's a good thing to do, kind of see who hits your caches when, because they'll have a new logbook. Another thing that you may want to do too is remove any toys like gel toys or swag that could freeze. Some toys, you know, do have the gel in them, and that could freeze. So you're going to want to get rid of those things, take them back to your house, keep them for the summer and then trade them out, or the winter and then trade them out when it starts to become warm again. You may also want to restock with fresh swag. This is a good time to replenish your cache from the winter or from the summertime when it seems to be hit the most. It may be low on the swag, so you might want to go ahead and do that. Put new fresh swag in it. Another thing is to move any of the travelers that have been in there more than a month, because now it's going to be winter time. People are going to be hitting your caches a little bit less, at least in our area. In Montu's area, where it's more sunny, it's going to be ramped up. So a lot of these things apply to there as far as restocking and getting fresh logbooks out there. A person in our group, Flag Mountain Hikers, says that they make some white bags, or you could make some white bags or cheap pillowcases for snow camo. That way you could just pull it over the box, your ammo container, and it would be camoed for the winter, and then when it becomes summer out, you could go ahead and open up, take out the camo, and it would be back to normal. Montu, another good thing to remember, Montu, is when we're placing caches, is getting good coordinates. How is the best way to do that?
Well, there's actually several ways. One, if you can get out there during the time of the year when you don't have as much foliage cover, not as much leaves in the trees, that's, of course, your best time to obtain the coordinates. Also, try and take several different readings over different times of the day. Multiple readings also help out. This way you can average them all in together. Even taking them on different days. And then, again, averaging all those coordinates out between different times of the day and different days of the week or month, getting those coordinates. A lot of times I'll go out even on some of my established caches, and I'll still take a reading each time I go out and visit just to kind of fine-tune the reading and adjust it if need be. And then last but not least, there's a lot of satellite maps that are out. You know the area where you placed your cache. Go to Google Earth or one of the other map sites and view it, view the satellite image. Does this look like where you placed your cache?
All right, thanks, Montu. Now, I want to get a little bit of feedback from you, since you are, I'm in an area that gets hit pretty hard by the snow in winter. You obviously are in Florida, where it stays fairly nice during the winter, actually cools down, and that's actually your caching season. Do you have any other tips or tricks that we should do for people that are around areas where it doesn't get, snow, innumerable amount of snow? Do you have any ideas as far as what we can do for those type of areas?
Well, it all depends upon where you've hidden the caches. We do still have A lot of trees, different varieties of trees here in Florida that do still shed their leaves. So you're going to get a lot of foliage that's going to be hitting the ground. This sometimes helps, sometimes hurts. I know one of my caches has a very bad tendency because where it's at is in a thicket of trees where it's almost constantly losing its leaves. And so it's constantly getting buried to the point where people are literally stepping on it and not realizing they're there. So another thing that you might want to do, depending on your area, is maybe go out periodically and maybe clear off some of that. You know, don't clear it all off, but maybe clear off a little bit so it helps them out a little bit. Because on this one cache, I had a month where a guy was going out there almost every weekend, and he couldn't find it. Finally, I went out with him, and I stood back, and I watched him hunt. And finally, he gave up, and I just said, okay, look to your left, 5 feet, and down. And he still didn't see it. I went over, and I've got the walking sticks with the metal tips. I went and tapped at the can. And, you know, the stick went through about a good inch of leaves and pine needles and everything, but we heard the thud, and he realized, okay, I've stood on that spot. But, you know, definitely going out there and cleaning that off from time to time will definitely cut down on the DNFs that you might get.
True, true. Now, I want to remind everybody, too, if you are listening live in our chat room, we'd like to hear any of your suggestions as far as what you would think would be a great thing for winter, prepping your caches for winter. Give us a call. Our phone number is 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Do that, and we'll love to get you on the show here. Flag Mountain Hikers says in our chat room, too, that they think that it's a good idea for a regular cache maintenance schedule. Something like every 6 months, too, since caches do have a tendency to lose swag. People don't always trade up and trade even. They sometimes just take things out of the caches. They don't always have things to put back, and that's okay. But you don't, you know, you may need to get out, well, even every 6 months to your caches and go ahead and check up the swag on that. So anyone else have any other ideas for winter caching? Like I said, go ahead and give us a call, 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525. Daryl, how about yourself? The caches that you guys own, do you go out there normally and winterize them during the winter?
Well, most of the caches we do don't really need much winterization. They're designed as winter-friendly caches for the most part. But there are some of the caches, not ours in particular, but there are some of those caches that only work in the summer. So those, you know, you want to make sure to get out and disable on the cache page so that people don't see them, you know, try to do them when they shouldn't be.
That is true. That is a good reminder. All right. I hear that Jodster has a suggestion. Montu, what is that?
Yeah. One. Oh, she doesn't want to come on the phone. She says for winter caching, just stay indoors where it's warm until spring.
That is a good suggestion, I guess, if you don't want to get cold. Definitely. For me, it is a good reminder because I don't always get out and check on my caches. I usually try to get out if I see the maintenance log and needs the maintenance log, but I don't always get out before the winter comes. And I think this year I might have to try and get that taken care of. Joster says she thinks that was a great suggestion about staying in. But for some of us, that works. For some of us, like myself, staying in, I can't just caching. I need to get out and cache. My wife.
Well, and it's a better time of the year as far as I'm concerned because there's no bugs.
That is true. And my wife, Jules, says that she agrees with Joldster, and she says, get a cup of hot chocolate. That's the way to cache. Sit inside and get a cup of hot chocolate during the winter.
Yeah, Jonester's over here nodding vigorously.
So, yeah, the one trouble that we were reminded in our chat room by Wicca 57 is that the biggest trouble with winter caches is the footprints. So you need to try and cover your tracks, whether that's carrying a stick and brushing them over, and or you know, whatever. But try to get rid of the tracks so that you don't leave geo trails in the snow. We're all familiar with the geo trails that we have during the summer, but in the winter, it's a whole separate thing of geo trails. Well, we have on the phone right now one of our guests who have dialed in to put in a suggestion. Welcome, guest 7, to the call. What's your name and where are you from?
This is Kirk, and I'm calling from Southeast Ohio. First time listener joined in. I was just going to say that I maintain a couple of letterboxes as opposed to geocaches here in Southeast Ohio. But this is the first fall that I'm going to go through, and so some that are secured in trees or hung from branches are going to be exposed shortly. So I've got to find other places for these things. We generally do not put them in animal holes or in, you know, holes in trees, or because of the danger of reaching in and discovering, oh, that's a squirrel, or worse.
Yeah.
So any suggestions?
For us, we really can't, as cachers, we can't move our caches very far. Usually, like, what I would do is place them, like, at the base of a tree, maybe cover them with some leaves, something like that. Daryl Montu, what would you suggest?
Well, a lot of the better hides that I've seen for geocaches are where the container's actually camoed to look like a stick or something like that, you know, log. But from what I understand, letterboxing really doesn't like to do that as much.
Not as much, although peanut butter jars wrapped in camo tape are quite popular. We're not quite as crafty as some of your hiding. We had a local library that had an arboretum, and after what was described by local law enforcement as a series of vandalism, as people were searching and tearing the place up, they finally stepped up police patrols, and you know, ultimately it was removed because there used to be, as I've heard, used to be a geocache there, but you know, it isn't there now. And the whole arboretum is now closed at dusk because they thought it was nighttime vandalism when people were apparently going after the geocache.
Well, that's always sad to hear.
Yeah. In fact, the tree where I had my letterbox in was just cut down. So it's like, oh, God, there goes another one. I like the idea of putting it at the base of a tree. In fact, that's what I did until they expanded the jogging path and put about 2 tons worth of earth over on top of the box. And I, you know, who saw that one coming? So
yeah, you can't always prepare for things like that.
About 30 boxes I'm trying to maintain here, having just gotten into it about 9 months ago. I'm learning fast, but I don't have a GPS system yet. Looking for a cheap one, I guess.
Yeah, and I noticed that in the chat room, and this is a good maybe discussion to go for real quick here and see, since we haven't talked about this in a while, but as far as geocaching GPSs go, you can get a basic one for about $100, just a basic eTrex Legend. Our basic eTrex, that'll do good for caching. I mean, anything you can put coordinates into and follow an arrow and get close to. I wouldn't necessarily recommend auto GPS to use for caching. I mean, you can do that. Some of them are better than others, but I wouldn't necessarily recommend that. Anything that you can, like I said, anything that you can put coordinates in and have it on a little bit of a map and have an arrow to would be a good one. You can find those fairly cheap on eBay, even just the Garmin eTrex. Again, I'm partial to Garmin because I've always had a Garmin and I love them, and they've been great for us. So, but that would be my suggestion as far as a geocaching unit. I mean, if you're just getting into caching, pretty much any cache that, or any GPS that you can input coordinates in, usually works. Monty, Daryl,
would you consider buying a used one?
Actually, I bought a refurbished one when I bought my first one. I had an eTrax Legend, and I bought refurbished from Garmin, and it's a very good unit. We like it, and it seems to work. It does not do great always in tree cover, but used ones aren't bad. I mean, with anything that you buy used, you run the risk of have it not working. But if you feel comfortable buying used, electronic equipment, I would go ahead. It usually works just fine. Montu, Daryl, any suggestions?
Well, I was going to say it probably would be beneficial to look for something that has either a serial or USB interface, just for in case you do get a little bit more into it. It makes a huge difference in the ability to get the waypoints in there, and does eliminate the risk of miskeying coordinates and ending up, on the wrong side of a cliff.
That is true. I would also echo that same thing, because my eTrax Legend did have a serial connection to it. However, my father's unit that he bought when he first started caching did not, and he always had the key and everything by hand. And especially if you're doing more than one or two caches, it can get quite tedious trying to enter in coordinates into a GPS by hand.
Thanks for the tips. I'll let you get back to winter caching here. I'm going to drop off. I'm probably paying an arm and a leg.
All right. It's good to have you. Thanks for joining us tonight.
I'll still watch the chat room. Thank you.
All right. Anyways, all right. Daryl, Montu, anything closing before we wrap up recording today?
No, I think we just about covered everything on this topic.
Yeah. I'm sure that if we have anything else, people will call into the voicemail line too.
And that voicemail line is 206-350-3GPS. Feel free to give us a call anytime, and we can just further discuss this on a further show. Join us every Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. We do this live podcast every Tuesday, 9:30 p.m. On the TalkShoe service, and that's Eastern Time. You can call us live at 724-444-7444, and our TalkCast ID is 7525, and you can sign on at TalkShoe.com. Montu, I hear that you have some late-minute things to put in. Go ahead.
Yeah, one thing that Joe just mentioned, and she does drive a good point on this, especially with the winter caching. Remember, it's not like the summer caching. Make sure you bundle up. You need to make sure you dress appropriately for the temperatures that are out there during the winter months. They are different from the summer. But make sure you don't get yourself sick.
That is true. That is true. Thank you, Joester, for that information and reminding us of that. So our show notes can be found, and our links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.info. And again, we have a voicemail, and that number is 206-350-3GPS. You can call us anytime and leave us a voicemail. We'd love to hear from our listeners. Thank you guys for joining us. Have a good week, and we'll see you all next Tuesday.